Well, we love to switch gears on this program. I mean, listen, when you're talking financials and the world threat of what's happening, we have to go to baseball because we need that that little diversion. Ladies and gentlemen, it has to be opening day this week, if you're not aware of it. That's right, Thursday. Although the real opening day took place over in Seoul, South Korea. A lot of fun over there, Dodgers and Padres. Rick Cerrone, his great career with the Yankees and all that he did as far as the communications and whatnot, and what a job he's doing as editor of the best publication, in my estimation, in the world of baseball. His name is Rick Cerrone, and, of course, we're talking Baseball Digest. And, Rick, always a welcome to Dish back on the show. Good having you, my friend.
Well, it's always nice to be on your show, Jay. I enjoy it. And you're right. This week is opening day. We can put the winter and the cold weather, we hope, behind us. So, exciting week.
You know, I got to tell you, while doing the show last week, I had the Dodgers and Padres on. And I got to tell you, I kind of enjoyed it. And now I get it. You know, the purists will say, well, come on. I mean, now we're opening the baseball season in a foreign country. Do those countries actually participate in America opening their sports? Who cares? Let's not dissect it that crazy as far as everything is concerned. But you know what? It is what it is. I mean, listen, you have to kind of go along with the times. You look at some of these other sports expanding around the globe, Rick. Listen, I take it. I liked it. Let's get the season underway.
Well, you know, you echo what a lot of people have said. I've heard a lot of this on radio, on TV, from friends. You know, I understand this. It didn't bother me. I expect this. You know, we kind of live in a global community today, and you can't look at there being boundaries on your sport. You know, the Dodgers and the Padres are both going to have their home openers, and they'll be celebrated. And, you know, if this was the Yankees or the Mets, I wouldn't feel like I got cheated out of opening day because the Yankees or the Mets came back 1-1. It's the world we live in today. I think we live in a very precarious situation about how we're going to consume the games. You know, I'm still frothing at the mouth of what happened in the NFL, where they basically hoodwinked the fans and put a postseason game, a traditional commercial TV game, made you, you know, subscribe to a streaming service that, quite frankly, Jay, a lot of people, you know, I think of my late father, he would not have seen that game because he did not have the ability to get, Peacock. So I think that's where my concern lies. Yankees, you already need, I believe, three streaming services to watch all the games during a regular season. So that's where I'm keeping an eye on. I'll be writing about that for the next issue, which is May, June. So anyway, that's where we're at. But I'm excited about opening day, whether the Dodgers and the Padres are 1-1 or not.
And listen, 26 runs and 33 hits, game two of the Seoul series. I mean, listen, baseball is back, and so is Shohei Ohtani with a couple of hits, an RBI and a stolen base in the first game. You saw a little bit of Mr. Yamamoto, not so good. He said he's going to fix the problem, but, you know, that's what it is. It's a global game right now with a lot of appeal. And speaking of Mr. Ohtani, unfortunately, we've got something to discuss before we even have opening day pitches here in this country, Rick, with a $4.5 million and the interpreter and all that's going on with a gambling scandal, and we await the response of Shohei as far as explanation here.
Well, he's going to give one later today. This is a real dicey situation, you know, because the interpreter has changed his story on multiple occasions. But look, MLB is investigating it. The people they have investigating these things are really good at what they do. They have a lot of resources. So, you know, they'll get to the bottom of this. You just have to hope that this is, as was once said, the interpreter basically took his funds and paid his debts, not that Ohtani paid an illegal bookmaker. That would be some trouble for Ohtani. The biggest thing, surprise that I had in this whole situation, and no one's really mentioned this, how is an interpreter making $500,000 a year from the ball club? I just don't understand that. I had the wrong course in my way to the major leagues. I studied journalism to get into public relations. Boy, do I feel stupid. I should have studied another language and been an interpreter. You know, because you know that Ohtani was compensating this gentleman in addition to the ball club. So, you know, the way it worked with the Yankees with, you know, Hideki Irabu's interpreter and Orlando Hernandez and Hideki Matsui, I mean, they were compensated reasonably by the ball club, and then the player kicked in at the end. But there's something wrong here that an interpreter is being paid that kind of money. I mean, let me put it this way. You know, he ain't that good.
Yeah. Now, listen, it raised an eyebrow, although on the other hand, you're talking about, you know, the guy who signed the richest contract in North American sports, you know, so he could kind of well afford it here. Listen, there's questions here. There's questions about illegal bookmaking, which...
I'm talking about what the Dodgers paid him. The money came from the Dodgers for his salary, not from Shohei Ohtani. That's the crazy thing.
Yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, there's so many questions, though, Rick, because we know it's illegal as far as the state of California, and this is what has to be cleared up, you know, as far as... If the bets came from Ohtani other than baseball, it is still an illegal type of situation as far as under the guidelines of California. And that's, you know, that's going to be an eye-opener as far as part of this investigation is concerned. And a lot of people, you know, will always revert back to the Pete Rose days, Rick. A lot of people always do that and, you know, people already saying suspensions and everything else, talking suspensions here. But you got to let this thing play out. I think that's the biggest
thing. You got to let this play out. You have to hope that this is really just kept to the interpreter, that he placed the bets, he transferred the money. I'm going to be somewhat surprised, if not very surprised. I don't think what we're going to determine out of this, or what will be determined, is that Shohei Ohtani was gambling illegally. That's just me. We just have to let it play out. But I will say one thing for all the people that bring in the Rose, or all the people that said, oh, now baseball is in bed with legal gambling. They should, you know, now we should put Pete Rose in the Hall of Fame. Look, I love Pete Rose. I love Pete Rose. I know Pete Rose. But what Pete Rose did was different. It was much different. He broke the rule. Now, that rule still applies today. So I'm not going to name a player because then someone will say, why did he name that player? But if a player, right, bet through illegal bookmakers or even with a legal bookmaker on his own team, whether to win or whether to lose, he is being suspended for life. So the idea that somehow that with baseball having, you know, relationships now with legal gambling somehow exonerates Pete Rose. No, what Pete Rose did was wrong. Just as if Pete Rose did that today, it would still be punishable by the same damn punishment he got. So that argument makes no sense.
Yep, no question. I'm in agreement with you there. Rick Cerrone, editor of Baseball Digest. Let's get to opening day. And let's start with the Yanks and Mets, Rick, because, you know, the Yanks with a massive setback, obviously with Gerrit Cole. Who knows when he'll be available. I don't even think he's going to pitch this year. I mean, that's what I think.
My goodness.
But with that being said, The Yanks with some improvement, getting Juan Soto, a slimmer Giancarlo. Judge raring to go, though he's got an abdominal situation we got to keep an eye on. Yanks right now, in my opinion, have some pitching problems beyond belief. Who knows if Rendon is as good as he was in spring training. You know, they faced Trevor Bauer yesterday, three scoreless down in Mexico City. There's a lot to absorb with the New York Yankees right now.
Well, let me tell you something, Jay. This is the way I look at it. And it seems to be the same thing every year for the past few years. Spring training for the New York Yankees starts, and everybody comes to camp, and this guy, he's in the best shape of his life. He fixed this problem. Oh, this is fine. And then you start playing some games, okay? Well, then Aaron Judge is in an MRI tube, and, you know, DJ LeMahieu's toe is bothering him, and we got a lat sprain for, you know, this is a hard game on the body. The Yankees are an older team, so I wouldn't say they're limping out of spring training, but there's some definite concerns. Gerrit Cole is a concern. You're not winning without Gerrit Cole. He's the best pitcher in baseball. You have to hope that it's not serious, and it doesn't seem to be, but we're still in spring training, and we're going in through MRI, examinations. So can Rizzo hold up? Is Stanton for real? You know, he's slimmed down. He's going to, you know, we'll just have to see. I look at the Yankees as a third-place team in the AL East. I look at the Mets as a fourth-place team. So I don't think the Mets,
I agree there,
by their own admission, did much to improve. And they were, you know, they weren't close to being a playoff team last year. So not terribly excited about the baseball season in New York. But you know what? You never know. Did were the Texas Ranger fans excited going into 2023? Were the D-backs fans excited the year before? Were the Phillies fans? You know what? Something's going to happen that we just did not see coming. But if you're the Yankees, the way you win is that a lot of guys have career years. You don't need Nestor Cortez or Marcus Stroman to be okay. You need them to have career years. So, you know, they're a little thinner at catching without Higashioka. We'll see what happens there. And then it comes down to health.
Yeah, and listen, they still got three catches there, so I'm not as concerned. I am concerned in the pitching department. Why is a guy like Jordan Montgomery, Rick Cerrone, still out there, still dangling out there?
Well, because the price on him is astronomical, and no one's ready to take it. You saw the same thing just recently with Blake Snell. You saw the same thing with Matt Chapman a little earlier. It's just, you know, these players have overpriced themselves. And now I think Jordan Montgomery will land somewhere this week. I don't think it will be New York. I'm guessing it will be back in Texas. We'll just have to see. But Blake Snell, and, you know, the Yankees are obviously have, you know, luxury tax issues. And, you know, they could have had the American League Cy Young Award winner and the National League Cy Young Award winner. Now they right now have neither one of them. But, Jay, let me make a prediction here, because this holds true every year. Every year. You know, every market is excited. It's a new beginning for everybody. Someone's opening the season 10-2, and someone's opening the season 2-10. And you might not see which one it is. I think about the Reds a couple years ago who had that horrific start that they could never dig out from under, even though they played much better in the second half. Someone's going to kind of put themselves in a real hole, and someone's going to – last year was the Pittsburgh Pirates, you know, who were in first place into May. But there's going to be surprises, but there's going to be someone at 2-10, 3-9, someone at 9-3, 10-2.
I kind of agree. You know, it's always that, and there's always one team that will surprise you, like you said, and who knows? You know, I always go back to the Tigers way back, 35-5, and they just coasted. You know, you have one of those teams who could get off to that great start. I agree with you, the Mets. You know, I guess the question regarding Pete Alonso, a lot of people say you got the richest guy owning a team. Why not sign the guy? The guy's what, 28, 29 years of age, without question in his prime right now. He's going to hit 40 to 50 home runs. Why not give Pete Alonso a five-year deal, Rick Cerrone, for $190 million or so, give or take? The only thing I could think of is that maybe the rumors are true. Maybe the fact is he is a problem in the clubhouse. Or maybe the fact is that David Stearns wants to see how this club is going to do by July and maybe dangle Pete for four or five prospects to add on what they've improved already in the farm system. I have to think that could be the latter there.
Well, Jay, I want to bring up something that I used to think when I was in the mix, you know, in decision-making to a degree. But I was in the front office with the Yankees for 11 years. For 6 years with the Pirates before that. And I used to think this very often while I had that job. People on the outside have no idea what's really going on and what people are really thinking. Yeah, it could be any one of those things. To me, Pete Alonso is the face of your franchise. But you got a guy, you know, David Stearns, who's basically has his own opinions of, you know, of Pete Alonso's value on and off the field. So it's not as simple as what we think. And they know things that we just don't know. His body's not going to age well, yada, 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 whatever it may be. He may be thinking we're better off in letting him test the market and seeing that there's not that great a market for him and do it that way. They may have made a decision that, look, eventually we're going to move on from Pete Alonso. I would not think that's the answer. But then again, these are the same people that had the best manager in baseball, in my opinion, and said, you know, we're better off without you. That's basically what they said to Buck Showalter. You know, we got it from here, Buck. Mm-hmm. We can do this better than you can with Carlos Mendoza. Are you serious? Are you serious? You kicked Buck Showalter to the curb? Now, what Steve Cohen has learned, you know, yeah, he was a fan, and he's really successful at his other businesses. But this is a business. But this is a business that has seems to have, you know, a not a great opinion of its industry, because there's people that have been hired by teams where the job description says, you know, knowledge of the industry desired but not required. Well, tell me another industry where a knowledge of the industry is not required. So, you know, Steve Cohen was one of those guys. And he may think, hey, it's baseball. Anybody can do this. Well, you know what you learned? That's not true. You can't just throw, you know, money at a situation. Hey, you done good. You know, you gave us back for 1 year, Old Timers Day. You know, you're retiring numbers that, you know, probably should have already been retired. You're bringing people back into the fold. That's great. That's what a fan does. Now we got to see what you can do, what an owner does. And so far, it ain't worked. So, you know, put your big boy shoes on, pull up your, you know, and let's go. Let's see what you're made of. But David Stearns is basically making a statement that I got this. This is what he's got, a plan, and over the next year, 2 years, 3 years, we'll see if the plan works.
I agree, and I think Steve Cohen, who has coveted Stearns over the years, got him to run the operations. Rick, this is strict Stearns' decision here. There's no doubt about it.
Right,
and you know, a lot of people are asking Cohen. Say, hey, Steve, what have you done here? $14 billion in the bank. Sign this guy. Not easy. Not easy to do when you have invested in David Stearns to make that thought process right, well, in my estimation.
Let me tell you one other thing about the Mets situation, okay? Carlos Mendoza deserves a job. He deserves to be the manager. He's paid his dues, okay? But I don't think that was the plan, because I think when Steve Cohen hired David Stearns, it was David Stearns' opinion that Craig Counsell was the next manager of the Mets. Now, that may ultimately work out that, oh, my God, can you imagine if we had gotten Craig Counsell in New York? You know what? He may not be a New York guy. Good luck in Chicago. But I think that is just my opinion. I think that was the plan. So they've already deviated. But good for Carlos Mendoza. He definitely deserves it. But you know what? Let me say something. And this is just me putting my editorial hat on here, okay? Buck Showalter deserves to be in a major league dugout, not on MLB Network, though. Thrilled that we'll get to see him. I'll tell you one other thing. So does Willie Randolph. How Willie Randolph
100%.
Is in a big league dugout in some capacity just boggles my mind.
Rick, I still have nightmares. Going to California, getting fired over there, Jerry Manuel getting that job.
Oh.
What an absolute disgrace back in the day. 100% agree with you.
No, it really was. It 100%. Really was. He was done wrong. He didn't deserve that. I think his players undermined him, and they know who they are. Let's just leave it at that.
Indeed. And, Rick, plenty to do this season. We look forward to having you on. A lot to think about over the next couple of days, especially with Ohtani and the presser later on today. Very interesting stuff. And, of course, you know, a kid in a candy store, we all are as far as Thursday afternoon opening day here. Yanks and Astros and the Mets and Brewers. Rick Cerrone, great editor. As far as Baseball Digest, the best publication as far as America's game. Always great having you on, my friend. Look forward to many more conversations.
Thanks, Jake. Look forward to doing it again.